Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. If you're watching this on YouTube, consider subscribing. If you're listening to this on your favourite audio platform, give us a 5-star. Thank you so much. We are chatting to Aiming for Enrique today, and I recorded this conversation a few days before Christmas. Fantastic chat. And Aiming for Enrique's brand new record, Empty Airports, is out now. Go and check it out. They are on tour in February of this year. Fantastic band. Go and check them out. And importantly, listen to this conversation on the Nevermind Polly podcast. This is me chatting to Simon and Tobias of the band Aiming for Enrique. See you on the other side. Peace. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And this week we are sat down with two people, Simon Tobias of the band Aiming for Enrique. How are we doing, gents?
Very good. Soon getting ready to go home to my family for Christmas.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is going out, will go out shortly either after or before the album drops. So we're recording this just before Christmas. So I hope you both are having a good sort of festive period and everything else. But you guys have been very productive over the last sort of 12 months, 18 months, with obviously the new record, which we're here to talk about, Empty Airports. How are you kind of feeling now the record's about to be released, and how's the mood between you both, and how is things just generally?
Yeah, it's going pretty good. We're getting ready for a big tour. Mm. Today we announced the last bunch of shows, so it's going to be a good run. We've been practicing a lot, and the set is starting to get very good, I think. So we're really much looking forward to February.
Absolutely. And that's one thing as well. So this, correct me if I've got any of my notes wrong, but I do believe this is your fifth studio record. The last one being in 2020, Music for Working Out. I don't want to dwell too much on the last couple of years because it's been pretty terrible for everybody. But it will be 3 years now in 2023 when this goes out. But the world has changed a lot, and you guys have made a kind of a cosmic shift in terms of the sound from the last record to this one. Was that kind of a conscious decision, or was that just kind of what came naturally as a product of that time, if that makes sense?
I guess it was both, because we usually change directions between albums, but this one was a bigger change than the previous records have been, but I think it's still a red thread between Music Working Out and this one. I think Music Working Out is a fun record. This Absolutely. Record we've made now is not a fun record. No. It's it's a relaxing record. It's I guess it's still fun in some ways, but the last record was really, really fun, and the last record has a couple of songs like Diving Within and Flat Beats, good examples of a couple of songs that could have been on this record as well. At least Diving Within could have been. And we also had an EP in between that kind of also bridges the gap.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I'm a massive fan of music just generally. But when I got sent sort of the record and things, I proper took a deep dive into your guys' back catalogue and stuff. And it was a case of you guys, especially on this record, it's really a record you need to get, and I'm not trying to be snobby, but a decent pair of headphones for, because it really does value that. It proper immerses you in its world, because, you know, and also it's very good to have kind of on just in the background if you kind of wanted something sort of more ambient, because you're kind of leaning a lot more on that. How did that kind of come to be in terms of production standpoint? Do you guys produce your own stuff as well, or is it just the playing? How does that all work?
This time I produced the record. We've done it more, I guess we both produced it, but I did the most of it. Earlier we've both done it, and on a couple of records we've also had like a co-producer with us. When you said the music fits to have in the background, I think the last album is Music for Working Out, and this one is Music for Work.
So you can, absolutely.
If you have an office job or something, you could listen to this album.
absolutely. No,
how it works, it's usually played live. Like, it's always that's always kind of the goal. It's not super important that it is, but that is the goal. It needs to be reproducible live. So if we record it in some other way, it still needs to sound like we're gonna sound when we play it live, because I think that's a big part of this band, that it actually happens. Nothing's pre-recorded and everything's just happening right then and there. It's always been important to us. On this one, the production was quite challenging, because it's long stretches of kind of the same thing happening, but slowly evolving. And when you have to evaluate the song, how is the mix doing right now? You have to like listen for 12 minutes every time. So I've spent a lot of time listening to this song, way more than previous records, I would say. So it's a challenge in a different way, I think.
Absolutely. And Tobias, I want to just quickly chat to you about the fact that, because I'm a drummer myself, not nowhere near the caliber of what you guys play and everything else, but I find it super interesting the different jumps and hoops that you go through on these records, because you're so much more than just, you said a drummer. A drummer is a drummer, but you're so much more than that. So how do you find kind of working with Simon and that kind of duo effect?
I think it came from my interest in electronic music, and listening to Fortet and Burial and stuff like that. So I think that this time I wanted the drums to be even more electronic sounding, and I also incorporated the drum machine. And on some of the songs, the acoustic drums and the drum machine goes together like one instrument. And on some parts, there's only the acoustic drums, and then there's only the drum machine. So it's and also the way we recorded the drums, it's a little bit different. I think it was maybe even kind of more dead sounding drums, and try to get them sound like a drum machine or electronic drums. So it was a very conscious decision to make it fit with the musical direction, and also like Simon's sound got more synthy. So it's kind of made sense to play more in that kind of electronic vibe on the drums. And we also added a lot of synths in the recording sessions, but most of the synths were added in like the post-production phase.
Absolutely. And that's the thing as well that I found, listening to all types of different music, majority of the time you can kind of figure out, or at least attempt to figure out, where a song might have started from. If you've got a guitar riff, if you've got a drum beat, a lyric, you can kind of say, well, that could be a starting point. How does a song start for you guys? Because especially on this record, it's so ambient and floaty and kind of transcendent. How does it kind of start? Is it with a guitar piece or a synth line? How does it kind of, how do things start and how do they evolve and build?
Usually starts in the in a rehearsal space with us just playing together. I think I've brought maybe over our 10-year career, I've brought maybe 5 songs from home, which we then make together. Like, we usually just play something and we. We decide on pursue this idea. Mm-hmm. Usually, if it's something that's simple that sounds good in the room with us playing it, that's been the way we've always done that. I think on this new record, we had to kind of learn a new way of playing. Like the meditative, repetitive way of performing this music is—it's important to to lose yourself in the moment and forget the time and just see what happens and then record and then listen back and then we end up with a large bank of a bunch of ideas and then we start picking out from those. And we start then performing it live also before we record it. We usually play the songs for almost a year before we record them.
Oh, amazing stuff.
Yeah. Tobias, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, and when we composed Empty Airports, we had a lot of like reference tracks or kind of music that we like to listen to, and a lot of the times that kind of music was not like it was electronic music composed and recorded in Ableton or studio environment, and we tried to kind of play that music as a duo instead of producing it in more typical way of producing electronic music, if that for made sure. Any sense.
Yeah, no, of course that makes perfect sense. So Tobias, you touched on it a little bit, but I kind of want to ask, whereabouts does your kind of your musical passion come from? Is it from sort of and how did you kind of get into music in generally? Was it through family or through friends at school? How did you kind of get into the music you play today?
I grew up with music. None of my parents are musicians, but they are music lovers, and my dad took me to shows. So I got very interested in, especially in rock and prog music. So I wanted to play drums, to play a rock drum kit when I was 12, I think. And at the time I listened to a lot of different music, but mostly classic rock and prog, and then I discovered more of the jazz rock fusion thing, like Mahavishnu Orchestra. And later I discovered the Norwegian jazz, experimental jazz, rock noise thing that was going on. Mm-hmm. And and then I discovered electronic music. We both listen to a lot of music, so it's kind of hard to figure out when and why you do exactly why you do, because it's just a big and like you mentioned with COVID and COVID's influence on our new album, I guess it had a big influence, but at the same time, we kind of started doing, we started to shift a little bit before, I think.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Yeah. How about you, for Simon? When did your kind of musical journey start, so to speak?
Just when it's influenced by COVID and stuff, the newest album, it's quite funny because we started shifting over to that before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started to become like a soundtrack, that kind of music.
Mm.
And then we have to write a press release.
Yeah.
So that's why we're talking about COVID and stuff. It doesn't really have that much to do with the music, but it fit the atmosphere at the time.
For sure.
My parents aren't musicians either. They've always just told me that I need to just do whatever makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
I've had an interest in music and in also in playing music since I was maybe like 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to a lot of metal and like Metallica. It was my favorite band. The first record I ever bought was Saint Anger, actually.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I'm from a small town with very good DIY scene with like maybe something like 10 bands or something.
Mm-hmm.
The interest was around bands like Sonic Youth and everything from, I guess, Rancid to Sonic Youth to the Beach Boys to anything. And then something also happened when I discovered the Mars Volta. Then I started like looking for more experimental rock stuff.
Yeah.
And I've listened to a lot of Battles and Hella and a little bit of Lightning Bolt and Terra Melos and Bygones, some other Sacred related stuff, and the Italian band called Sue. And around when I met Tobias, we both talked about these bands and modeled our band on those bands, like Hella, Bygones, Sue, and Lightning Bolt, and an Norwegian band called Monolithic, and a bunch more. But
amazing. That definitely, I say, there's definitely like a wide scope of influences on all of your music. So that makes perfect sense that you're both kind of quite well rounded individuals in terms of your musical influences and what you like and things. That makes perfect sense. So I'd like to kind of ask you something, and it's kind of a bit of a game that I'm playing with everyone who I've had on, and that is, by the end of 2023, I'm going to create a list which is basically going to be the ultimate rider, and I need to ask you for what if you had no money restrictions, anything like that, something that you would love to have or can't live without on tour.
On the rider? Without,
So you could have
very good sushi.
Very good sushi, amazing. Yes. Okay, I could put that on there. That's fine.
A sauna on every backstage would be perfect.
Amazing. So so far in 2023, I've got champagne, a PlayStation / Xbox, sushi, and a sauna. We're doing well. We're doing well.
Nothing illegal yet.
although the band previous to you did say that they'd like some narcotics, but we were like, we'll probably scratch that. It's fine. One of the sort of the final questions I want to kind of ask you guys, and thank you for your time, is what is the best thing about being in a band, in your band? What is the best thing about playing music live and that kind of thing for you guys individually?
There is nothing quite like it, I think. It's hard to describe if you don't play in the band yourself, I think. But connecting with people in a very direct way with no language involved. In our case, we don't have any lyrics or anything. Just seeing people being moved by our music and being moved ourselves by our own music and their reaction and like this whole thing happening. I think that's the just that and also being creative, just making new stuff. It's really that is the best thing about being in a band.
Yeah, it's a way of being expressing yourself. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like a very big challenge of like teamwork, and like mm-hmm. it's you're never better than kind of the what do you call it, like the
weakest link.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like the combination of expressing yourself, but also it's you need to be a team player in a lot of different ways, and that's a very good thing about being in a band.
Absolutely. And last but not least, we can't obviously not forget to talk about the tour which you guys will be on in February. How excited are you guys to get back on the road and things? Because a band's now, you know, a band's bread and butter basically is playing live for the most part because of the way the music industry is set up. And as you say, getting in front of people is really, really important. So what can fans expect from you guys seeing you guys live on tour?
If they've seen us before, we bring some synths this time. And I think we're just going to play from our whole discography, but heavily from the new album, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen us before, two guys on stage making more different sounds at the same time than we thought was possible, probably. I don't know.
Absolutely. No, I totally get that. I was going to say, I knew you guys were a two-piece, and I was listening to the records and things, and I was like, this is a two-piece? That's mad.
Yeah.
I love that. Is there anything you'd like to say to the viewers, the listeners at home, before we sign off?
No. This comes out next year, so no Merry Christmas there.
No, that's fine.
I don't know, Tobias, do you have anything?
No, my internet connection is not very good at the moment, so
it's all good. It's all good.
What's happening.
I don't know what's going on, but yeah, check out our music and if you like it, you should come to our shows.
Absolutely, that is the perfect way to sign things off. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for your time. The record Empty Airports is out this week, or depending when this goes out, will be out this week, will be out or out now, so go listen to it. Go and catch them on tour. Thank you so much for your time, gents. I hope you do have an amazing Christmas. Obviously, we've recorded before Christmas. Safe travels up to the mountains, Tobias. You said you were up to the mountains, so enjoy and be safe. And we'll catch you on tour. See you soon.
See you soon.
There we have it, guys. Another episode of the Nevermind Polly podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. If you can, give us a subscribe on the YouTube channel, a 5-star rating on your favorite podcasting device. That really does help us out. As I say, the socials are Nevermind Polly podcast on Instagram and on Facebook. We don't have a Twitter, unfortunately. If you want to support the show, it's patreon.com/NevermindPolly podcast. Would be greatly appreciated. Until next time, until next week, we will see you very soon. Be safe, be good, see you soon.